We're studying the book of Proverbs this summer. It's a rich book. We're only going to dip into it, just some themes that we're trying to pull together. Solomon used all kinds of proverbs to outline what a life led by wisdom is like. And some of those proverbs are very deep, and some of them are funny. They make you laugh. And some are like big yellow danger signs, waving you off taking this path or telling you about danger that's down the road if you continue along that line. And we're going to look at some of those today. They're challenging. You know, a few weeks back, we looked at Solomon's teaching about peacemaking, resolving conflict, God's way. This is intended to be a kind of a bookend to that message, as Solomon warns us against the alternatives to peacemaking. And what I want to do is I want to introduce you to the wealth of this book so you go back to it over and over again. So once again, I'm going to give a lot of different verses. If you try to write them all down, you'll miss what's going on. So I've put a PDF file on the website front page in case you want to get the verse references. Just relax, listen to what, and look at them and read them as they go by, and just try to get the main idea. Our text is from Proverbs 16. This is a topical sermon. It's going to be a jumping off point. Verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, gossip refers to idle talk or rumor, often about the personal or private affairs of others. The English word gossip goes back to the word for godparent. And so it's like the kind of talk that goes on in family circles. But it's been expanded. And of course, today it's been digitized. Today, you can write comments on Twitter or on Facebook, or even their pictures that kind of tag you without your knowledge. And of course, once your friends get the information, their friends get the information, and their friends get the information, and it goes viral. Going viral is a contemporary way of talking about gossip. Gossip is often quite harmless. It's a part of the entertainment game in the supermarket aisles, checkout lines. It can be very positive as you talk about the way so-and-so creatively proposed to somebody else. In fact, it's the way our witness to Christ works, as one person just kind of talks about their experience with Christ to somebody else, and then it kind of multiplies from there. So gossip can be harmless. Gossip can even be a good thing. But gossip has a dark side to it, where it's more virus than viral. Any dictionary definition of gossip points out that it typically involves critical comments about other people. And that's the kind of gossip that Solomon warns us against in Proverbs. And considering how much space he gives to this topic, it must be a rather significant threat, and maybe more so than most of us realize. You look at the passage, and the passage we have here, like so many Proverbs, is two parallel statements. And so what this tells us is that dissension is just another way of describing separating people, even friends. And therefore, it tells us that a gossip is identified here as a perverse individual. A gossiper is a perverse individual. Solomon warns us about gossip when it is used as an alternative to biblical peacemaking. He's talking about the way it hurts relationships. He's not talking about, you know, once again, the entertainment game. He's talking about real people. Conflicts are inevitable, even among good Christians. But children of the living God and followers of Jesus Christ are responsible to settle those conflicts with each other as best they can, as much as it depends on them. Peacemaking is part of following Christ. Peacemaking involves humility. It involves self-sacrifice. It involves faithful rebuke. It involves a commitment to unity. For a Christian, conflict is never about winning. Conflict, like everything else, is about pleasing God. That's what it's about. The worldly alternative to peacemaking is a determination to win the conflict. Now, religious people might put a little coating on that and say, well, they're just interested in defending God's truth. Well, you can always tell whether you're interested in defending God's truth or not. How do you tell? Well, pleasing God is about exalting Him, and justifying myself, pleasing is about exalting me. So all I have to do is just kind of add up the time and the energy I spend on doing one of two things. Do I spend my time and energy justifying myself in a conflict and condemning the other party? Or do I spend my time and energy confessing my sins, entrusting myself to God over and over again, and blessing the other party? Because I can't emphasize both. It's going to be one or the other. And a follower of Jesus Christ is going to face his faults until his own sin breaks his heart. And a follower of Jesus Christ is going to trust God to vindicate her. And a follower of Jesus Christ is going to persevere in blessing those who attack and annoy and hurt. This is not super spirituality. This is Christianity 101. What does it mean to follow Christ if it doesn't mean to face our own deep sins, trust God to save us, and love our enemies as he loved us when we were his enemy? The worldly alternatives to faith in Christ is to try to win a conflict by justifying ourselves and condemning the other party. And those are the two things that Jesus hates the most. He despises those things. This kind of gossip often starts when we try to justify ourselves in the eyes of somebody else who isn't involved in my conflict. You know, I share my conflict with a friend, but what I'm really doing is I'm trying to get him or her on my side, as if my conflict were a battle or if it were a game in which I have to build up resources or people and numbers to win. Gossip tempts people who have no business in my affairs to join me in my battle by justifying me and condemning the party with whom I am in conflict. Gossip is so selfish, it tempts my friends to do the two things that Jesus despises the most. Now, that kind of gossip appeals, unfortunately, to all of us. It appeals to that sinful lust we have to play God and judge other people. Gossip is as potent a temptation as pornography or that second helping of pie that I just don't need. Gossip is a secret sin, delicious to the dark side of our souls. Here's a proverb that Solomon actually repeats, so that it's in twice in the book. Gossip's like choice morsels that go down, oh, yum, yum, tastes good. Why is gossip so sinful? Because when it is chosen as an alternative to peacemaking, gossip is nothing less than the spreading of lies. You know, we translate this text, a perverse man, and that's the way that word is usually translated, is perverse. But there are some times when it's translated some other way. If you have the ESV, you'll know that it can be translated dishonest. Dishonest. Gossip is dishonest, and it's dishonest for two reasons. On the one hand, nobody is impartial when they are trying to justify themselves. You don't gossip about your conflicts in order to make the other party look good. That's not what you're doing. So your story has your own spin pitched on it. And even if you aren't aware of that, it's what we do. And slanted truth is a lie. And on the other hand, even if everything you share is technically true in itself, you are still only sharing your point of view. And Solomon, one of the wisest judges in history, tells us that what he learned is that in every conflict there are at least two points of view. And you do not understand it until you get both sides. So even if everything you gossip about is true, it is at the very best a half-truth. And something I learned a long time ago is that a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. Gossip is a snare. It's a trap to those who hear it, because it tempts others to judge a situation through your eyes or through somebody else's eyes and not through God's eyes. And it tempts them to justify one party when maybe they're not as guiltless as they claim, and to condemn another party when perhaps they're not as guilty as implied. And gossip, therefore, tempts people to do two things that God hates just to benefit you or somebody else. Since it is necessarily spreads falsehood, every instance of gossip is a bearing of false witness. It is a violation of God's law. And what we have to understand, and what Solomon is trying to get across, is that God hates it. It's not a small thing. He hates it. God Almighty hates the arrogance. He hates the harm it does. He hates the falsehood. He hates the divisions between people that it causes. Think about this, please. These are things that God hates. Paul refers back to this in 2 Corinthians 12 when he lumps gossip with slander and conceit and hostility and anger as sins that just really hurt the church. People who engage in gossip, whether they initiate it or whether they pass it on, are encouraging or enjoying lies. In fact, Solomon says that only liars pay attention to other lies. Those who gossip reveal their own love of lies. Gossip destroys relationships in the body of Christ. We've got the text that we started out with, how gossip separates close friends. There are other ones like that as well. Let's see, there it is. There are other ones like that as well in Proverbs. Because on the one hand, you see, gossip further separates the two parties who are in conflict. It works to separate them, not unite them. And on the other hand, gossip also destroys friendships among people who hear the gossip. Because people take different sides in somebody else's battle, and they find themselves on opposite sides from their friends. I've actually heard about how gossip about one couple's marital problems has caused marital discord in another marriage because the spouses took opposing sides in the gossip war. Those who gossip attack the church that Christ loves. It's like they pick up a club and start beating at it. Gossip starts a little fire that grows like one of those wildfires out west, and it can get out of control, and it can scorch a whole fellowship. And that is why if a person embraces, if a person defends, if a person cultivates gossip, God says he will destroy him or her in order to protect his church and his good name. This is serious stuff. Gossip is a fire. So don't kindle the fire. Don't spread the fire. What if somebody gossips about me first? Don't I have a right, therefore, then to respond and put out gossip about them? No. First of all, if somebody does that to me, I've got to focus on peacemaking. I've got to go to that person, and I've got to try as best I can to work it out. And beyond that, what I can do is I have the opportunity, when I am wrongly attacked, to let God glorify himself by delivering me. Let God glorify himself by vindicating me and my trust in him, because God loves to rescue someone who trusts him. He loves to rescue somebody who waits to be vindicated by God. You know, I learned this a long time ago. Because like everybody else, I have gossip circulating about me, and I remember the first time that happened. And the Lord led me to a passage in Numbers chapter 12. It was the example of Moses. I'll never forget it. And Mickey, you remember that time very well. You go to Numbers chapter 12, and you find out that Moses married an African girl, and his brother and sister started to issue gossip about him and whether he was a good leader. And what Moses decided to do was to let God vindicate him. It says he was the meekest man in all the earth. He didn't defend himself. He wanted to stay very, very close to God. And he watched God do that. He watched God protect him and vindicate him. And in the end, it was God who was glorified. But if you or I, we choose to retaliate to gossip with more gossip, we lose the opportunity to watch God work for us. In fact, the Lord God is robbed of an opportunity to deliver you and to glorify himself. It's really ironic, isn't it, that when I retaliate with retaliatory gossip, I actually make it more difficult for God to deliver me. God cannot come across as rewarding my disobedience and my lack of faith. So that when we retaliate, we actually shield our attacker from being chastised by God, because we're trying to do his job. God can't bless that. That's how we should understand gossip. Well, what should we do about it? If you're involved in a conflict and you're tempted to initiate gossip about the other party, just don't do it. But what if you're involved? What if you're involved in somebody else's conflict? It isn't your conflict, but you really are involved genuinely and validly in it. You know, you're a child whose parents fight. You look after grandchildren because your son or daughter is in a broken relationship. If you're genuinely part of that tragedy, what should you do? What you should do is pray. Talk to God about it. Don't talk to third parties about it. Don't ask others to pray just so you can infect them with half-truths. You pray. You pray to God with a pure heart and let God do his job. Watch him work. You can encourage godliness among those who are in the conflict. You can speak the truth to them in love because you're a part of it. Your voice is there and it can be heard, so speak the truth in love. But don't take sides. Don't justify one over the other. Don't condemn one over the other because you are not their judge. God is capable of doing his own job. Point them to God. Point them to his word. And let the Holy Spirit convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's very good at that. Talk to God. But don't gossip about it with people who have no business being involved. Don't try to justify your favorite in the conflict and demonize the other person. It's not going to help. It will only further separate people. Realize that your gossip could cause the matter to spiral out of control. Like a little hole in a dam can just kind of grow and grow until the whole thing collapses. You may mean well. But as gossip spreads the conflict further and further from the people who are directly involved, the conflict takes on a life of its own. Others become involved. They embellish it. They spread their version of it. And reconciliation becomes almost impossible. Those are things to do if you're directly involved. If you are not directly involved in a particular interpersonal conflict, then guess what? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. If you see pollution drifting by you as you swim in the river of life, you don't have to pick it up, smear it on others. Do you know that, according to Paul, one of the Christian's life ambitions is to mind your own business? If you don't mind your own business, you may get caught up in something that will bite you. And this is one of my favorite proverbs. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. Doesn't that say it well? Remember that next time somebody offers you a tempting appetizer of gossip. If you hear gossip that's none of your business, now you're going to be surprised to hear a pastor say this. If you hear gossip that's none of your business, don't pray about it very much. Let me explain. If you have been infected with gossip that you have no business hearing, you can't pretend you didn't hear it, so you have to pray about it. You got to give it to God. But do so with as little prayer as possible. That is to say, just ask God to act. Don't tell him what to do. Don't ask him to judge one person or defend another. You don't know enough. Just pray. As often as a situation comes to mind, ask God that he would act to glorify himself and bless those who trust him. If you hear gossip that's none of your business, don't pass it on. Even though the temptation to do that is so intense, treat it like any other temptation to sin. Resist it. Discourage gossip when you hear it. Politely respond, you know, that's really none of my business. It's a gentle rebuke to anyone who's passing on an infection. It's like asking them to cover their mouths when they sneeze. You don't want to catch what they're spreading. Upright people will understand. They might even thank you for it. If they don't respond that way, Solomon says you may need to choose better friends. And if somebody is actually contentious, if somebody is vicious in gossip, then avoid them. There really is no place in Christ's church for a contentious individual who uses gossip as a weapon. If somebody else's conflicts are none of your business, whose business is it? Well, it's the business of the parties involved. God holds them responsible to deal with their own conflict, and he will help them. Nobody else can do it for them. But if they are becoming dangerous to one another or to the community, unresolved conflicts are also the valid interests of the authorities whom God has appointed. The authorities that God raises up over us, they can't resolve our conflicts, but they might be able to help, and they are responsible to hold people accountable for their actions. So if you hear gossip about a serious conflict and you aren't sure that the authorities know about it, it's okay to speak to them. Don't pretend you know what's happening. Just tell them what you heard so they can follow up on it. That includes the police. That includes teachers in school. That includes supervisors at work. And in the church, it includes, of course, church leaders, your elders, your pastors, your ruling elders, your deacons. These are men whom you have chosen to speak the truth in love and to hold people spiritually accountable for their behavior. By an 80% vote, you pick the men that you think would do that the best. Please, please pray for the church leaders you've chosen that they would, and encourage us not to grow weary, encourage us to represent Christ well and faithfully. We are not infallible and we get tired. We make mistakes that we have to own up to. We're still learning year by year, trying to do our job better, but let us do our job. Please don't make it more difficult by spreading half-truths that only make problems worse. Choice morsels that are offered up on the internet, supermarket tabloids about entertainers, politicians that thrive on publicity, that's a game. That's a game society plays. But when gossip substitutes for peacemaking in the church, it's not a game. Every time gossip passes from one to another, we weaken the church that Christ Jesus died to save. The best way to counter such an infection is with a different kind of gossip, a constant sharing amongst ourselves of the love of Jesus Christ and his grace. Christ, who when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. Our Jesus teaches us to love, not attack those with whom we're in conflict. What the Apostle Paul said about people groups in Christ's church is just as true for individuals. Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, reconcile both of them to God on the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we hear Solomon's words, actually quite a few of them. He repeated similar themes and explored them. We hear it, Father, and it makes sense, but Lord, like any ingrown sin, gossip is hard to weed out. It's hard for me to weed out. It's hard for all of us to weed it out. It's a bad habit deeply rooted in our souls, entangled around so many relationships. Help us to resist it, Father, for our sake. Help us. For the sake of those we gossip about, help us. And most of all, help us for Jesus' sake, who has such a different vision for his church. We thank you for Jesus' vision. And we ask you to fill us with your Spirit to turn it into a reality right here. And we ask it in his name. Amen.